That's the best date the thing I've ever had here. It's time for Devil's Business.
Where's the brewery?
Welcome to the show that covers sex, drugs, and rock and roll lives of the people that are still awake while the wholesome people are sound asleep. I'm your host, Patrick Jarley. With me are the guys of MyFavoriteSin.com. And actually, I don't have the guys with me. I have the guy. I got one guy. I got Zach, a.k.a. T.
What's up,
representing
guys?
MyFavoriteSin.com right now. And we have a super awesome special guest this show. It's my former roommate, the man, the myth, the legend, Drew the Stew.
The Stew.
Where's the brewery? What's up, guys?
If y'all didn't listen to episode 12 of the podcast, I told a very incriminating story about Drew and being my former roommate. I've known him since high school. And his alter ego is Drew the Stew. This is a drunken Drew, kind of like Frank the Tank from Old School is basically what he is.
Let's be clear.
No, Drew, Frank the Tank from
Drew the Stew is the one that kisses dudes. Regular Drew, no dude kissing.
No dude kissing. He's
keep the dude
so
kissing.
So that's why I only see you when you're drunk, right?
That's right. Because I kiss dudes. Wait.
Well, this is the Beer Fest episode. We're actually recording this at our hotel room in Orlando, kicking off it's Thursday evening, and we're going out Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and it's just drunken debauchery at amusement parks down here. And so we brought Drew for this one, and we decided I was just going to do this episode. It was going to be the Beer Fest episode, but really we're going to tell the myths and the legends of Drew the Stew. With the drunken debauchery that started. And I'm going to kick it off with the first story, and this is became known as the Whopper story. Drew and I went out one night, one evening, with our friend Zach Chancer. I'm just going to try to remember to call him Chancer throughout the show, since I don't want to confuse T over here.
Thank you.
Because T's like, I wasn't there for that. We went out to this place called Dixie Speedway, which you can already assume is going to be the best place in the world. And we got drunk. Really, Drew got like belligerently drunk, had a slap fight with his friend. When I say slap fight, it started off with just like, you know, little girl slapping.
He gets a little slap happy the more
until
he's drinking.
It got to where he was coming from the ground up and just cracking each other across the jaws.
You know, Drew throws a close hand slaps
in a while. The thing is, Dixie Speedway is a mud track, so it's just red Georgia clay covering both of him and his friend. They're slapping the crap out of each other. And Chancer, who's there with us the entire time, just kept – he's kind of like an oaf. Just kind of he's our chuckling ape friend. Just kind of that's all he really does. So it starts raining. Drew is completely plastered. I pour him into the car, and Chancer jumps in the back seat. And we start driving off, and Drew starts shouting that he wants a Whopper. I said, well, dude, Burger King's closed right now. I can't get a Whopper. He's like, no Whopper! He will not release.
As he tends to do, a little aggressive.
That's
with
it. He doesn't care. Yeah. He will kick in the door of Burger King and make his own Whopper. He doesn't give a shit. He's like, there's one in there somewhere.
I don't remember any of this, to be honest with you.
So he starts screaming. Whopper, Whopper, Whopper. I'm like, look, dude, there's nothing open. The only thing, if you want food, the only thing that's open right now is Crystal's, which happened to be right next to our house. So I was like, well, how about I take you the Crystal Burger? He goes, okay, fine. And then he passes out, or a party nap, as we call it. takes a party nap, and he's in the front seat, and he's wearing, just to paint the scene, he's wearing a wife beater, overalls, and some trucker hat, and he's covered in red clay, and he has that handprint on the side of his face, okay?
Couldn't be fitting the stereotype more.
One shoe, that's it. We don't know what happened to the other shoe. So I come pulling into the line at Crystal's, which is just a line of all drunk people, just a DUI special going all the way around the thing. So we pull up to the sign, I go, Drew, what do you want to eat? And he just wakes up and starts screaming, Whopper! I said, they don't have Whopper here. All they have is burgers.
Burger.
So I order something. Chancer orders something. And then I look at Drew. I'm like, have you figured out what you want to eat? He goes, just a large Coke. And he passes back out. Like, that was all. Like, we stopped for him to get food and large Coke. And he passed back out. Now, we're waiting in line now between the sign and the window. And Drew is back in his party nap. I keep slapping him awake. I go, hey, man, you'll be really, really funny. And I don't know why at the time this seemed hilarious to me, and now it kind of questions my sexuality. I guess I'll admit this. I said, Drew, you know what'd be really funny is you just got completely naked. Just so when we pull up to the window, the person handed us the burgers has to see a naked Drew. And you know, Chancer and I, we won't even react to it. We'll just oh yeah, by the way, there's our naked muddy friend.
We haven't told enough stories about us bordering on that gay,
right,
not gay line.
Dancing
this will
that
just really
that
close
tightrope
for us. Yeah,
it's gonna end with someone blowing somebody. So Drew starts laughing when I tell him that it'd be funny to take his clothes off. Well, he just kind of takes down his overalls, pulls him down to his knees, pulls his wife beater up to his armpits, and then he just goes, And he's all reclined back in the seat too. And he goes, "That's as good as it's getting, boys." And then he then he goes back out into his party nap, right? Back unconscious.
Yeah.
So I happen to have a Sharpie on me, and I write a racial epithet on his chest. Something completely inappropriate. So I write that on his chest.
Could we get specific?
Maybe later. So I write this racial epithet on his chest because I think just a naked guy with overalls around his ankles and this racial. It just to me, it just made me laugh. And so I pull up to the window. I give the guy you know the money and stuff. He gives us the burgers, and that's when he notices that there's just a dong hanging out and it has this inappropriate phrasing on his chest. And that's when Drew decides to come back to consciousness. The guy's just the guy looks and goes, "What the fuck?" And Drew wakes up and starts pointing at his dick, going, "Whopper! Whopper! It's a Whopper!" I peel out. I take off.
At what point was this a good idea in your mind, driving up to the drive-thru? That like, yeah, this seems fun.
Well, see, I didn't know Drew was going to point at his dick and start screaming Whopper.
Oh, that's the problem with the story. Is me pointing my dick. Yes. My dick's out, but just me pointing it saying Whopper. Because right. We're at Crystal's. I get
right.
It.
Right.
At Crystal's at what time in the morning?
Oh, like 2.
No, see,
in
he's offended
because
he's at Crystal's and you're shouting at different brands.
Yeah, that's why. It had nothing to do with what was written on my chest, did it, Patrick?
I don't think it did.
I disagree completely.
I'm pretty sure I was there.
Anyway.
St. Zach's.
Anyway, he ends up leaving. We end up leaving, and we get to the house, go to the apartment, and Drew comes stumbling out of the car, and he's holding the cup because I put his Coke in between his legs. So it's just freezing his nuts.
Oh, good.
So when we get to the house, he kind of gets up. He kind of shuffles himself, pick up the cup, pulls himself together a little bit, and starts waddling through the parking lot. That's when he realizes he's holding this Coke, just chucks the Coke, has no clue. Chucks it across the parking lot.
And whose money paid for that Coke?
So he ends up...
I have no idea.
He stumbles...
Wasn't mine.
I don't know how we got him up three flights of stairs, but we got him up three flights of stairs. He just dives into his bed, right? Mud covered and all. And the next morning, I get up and go to work. Chancer gets up and he goes to work. And that's when I get a phone call right around noon from Drew. And he sounds like he's still face down in a pillow. And he's like, "Hey, man, what the fuck happened last night?" And I'm like, "I don't know, dude." He goes, "Why is my jaw so sore?" I'm like, "Oh, you and your buddy were slapping the shit out of each other." He goes, "Fuck, why is there mud in my bed? Why is my bed kind of mud?" I'm like, "Dude, that was you. It was you and your stupid friend slapping the shit out of him, rolling around in the mud like assholes." He goes, and I can hear him kind of getting up and moving. And I can hear him. I hear footprints on the linoleum in the bathroom. I'm like, "Oh, shit, he's passing the mirror." And that's when I hear this, "What the fuck?" I go, "What?" He goes, "Who wrote 'I like N-words' on my chest?" And I went, "I don't know, dude." He goes, "I was probably Chancer." He goes, "Fuck you, Zach can't spell." So that's the Whopper story, which actually became so synonymous in the Roswell Alpharetta area, where Drew has a used to work out there, and right. He had a very nice job. You know, he had customers and employees and
people
stuff.
People that knew him.
People were showing up, going, "Hey, are you the Whopper guy?" And they would come into the store just shouting "Whopper," pointing at their junk, because Drew became the Whopper guy in the Roswell Alpharetta area.
If only they knew.
That's why he had to move away.
If only they knew all the accumulated Drew the Stew stories that you've.
All right, now Drew, you have a story that I've never heard before, but apparently you had a Drew the Stew moment that someone, I'm guessing, had to tell you, because you don't tend to remember these stories very well.
No. Well, see, that's a great thing about the moment, because it's not, you know, I tend to take party naps from about the time I get to the eighth beer until the next morning. But this one was actually the day after. So I went out drinking, just hung one on. I mean, I can't tell you how much I had to drink, but I woke up, I didn't remember where I was. I woke up at home and I was hungry. And everybody knows that Drew's favorite meal is old El Paso tacos. So I started.
Which I wish I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm cooking myself up some old El Paso tacos. And
I like how you like to brand it too. Like, you're very specific. I like old El Paso.
No, it's the meal of the gods. I mean, I could eat it every day. So I start whipping up. I have my old El Paso tacos, and I got a little dog, right? So I decide, you know what? You know what a good idea is for me to go take the dog for a walk.
Oh, I thought you said the good idea is eat the dog.
No, so I said I'm gonna take the dog for a walk, and normally I take the dog 15 feet, and then I take it back. I'm going to go all the way around the neighborhood. So I take the dog out, and if you know anything about me, usually about 5 to 10 minutes after I eat, I gotta hit the bathroom. I'm about to explode.
Let me do a little side note on that. This is very true. We went out to Golden Corral one day. We had nothing to do that afternoon, so we went to Golden Corral. First thing we get there, he eats what I call the yellow vegetables, which is squash, corn, and macaroni and cheese, because in the South, macaroni and cheese is a vegetable. So he eats the vegetables, and I think we were there for maybe an hour, and we were just downing this buffet. He has to get up midway through the meal to take a poop. He comes back, and then he goes, And he has this weird look on his face. I'm like, what's up, man? He goes, there was corn in my poop. I went, what do you mean there's corn? He goes, dude, I've had corn since today. That thing passed within the hour.
I'm telling you, I'm a machine. So anyway,
well,
so
you think about what you eat, though. I mean, El Paso tacos, chili three ways.
Your
like
your body's rejecting this stuff.
Your body has developed, and it's. But I mean, with all that crazy shit that you eat, course you're
the drinking and the food. I mean, if it hadn't killed me yet, I'm pretty much a superhero, basically. Anyway, so I get halfway across the neighborhood, and I had left my keys in the house, and we have a little keypad on the garage door, and so I shut the garage door. Walked out with the dog, got halfway across the neighborhood, and I don't really know my neighbors in this neighborhood because we kind of pissed the ones we knew off. So
I could tell that story too, but yeah.
I gotta take a shit.
He kind of chased him with a chainsaw. Go ahead.
So I'm running with the dog.
It wasn't instigated by them. They didn't do anything. He just drew it out one day and had a chainsaw and started chasing them around. Go ahead.
It's, you know, sometimes I need to be chased with a chainsaw. So anyway, I'm running back from halfway across the neighborhood. I mean, I'm running so fast, I'm outrunning the dog. I picked him up. I got him under my arm because he's got short little legs. And I'm running. I get to the house and I'm boop, 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 boop. Nothing. Boop, 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 boop. Nothing.
I'm assuming that's a knocking noise and a doorbell.
No, that's the code on the garage.
See, and your mime for that was just awful.
The doors are locked, and the garage door has a key code, and it's not working. The garage isn't opening. Okay. And I mean, I'm pushing cotton, and it's liquid. I mean, it's liquid gold.
So you're not pushing much cotton. You're kind of filtering.
Yeah, it's going to be horrific. So I'm looking around. I'm frantic, and I'm looking. I'm like, so let me go back and see if I can get in the patio door. So I get back, and I try to jimmy the patio door real quick. I'm like, I can't do it. I'm like, all right, hold on one second. When you were in high school, you had a coach named Coach Webster who really gave you some good direction.
No.
So I remember because I used to talk a bunch of shit and get in trouble. He'd make me sit up against the wall in gym class. You know, you had to bend down and crouch and sit there.
Put your back against the wall and hurt your thighs.
Exactly.
For the quads.
So I'm like, all right, here's what I do. I go back and I'm sitting right there and I drop my pants and I'm leaning up against the wall and I just spray shit straight down. Like... it's so bad I'm screaming. It's coming out of me so
just
fast.
Just bringing attention to you, shitting on the side
of
your house.
It's like I dumped a paint can full of shit directly out of my ass.
It's cinnamon
colored. So, hold on. No, cinnamon colored? Ew. So which side of the house were you on? Because I know the house you're talking about. Was this side of the neighbors that you chased with the chainsaw or the Mexicans?
No, this is the chainsaw side.
See, the Mexicans are the ones who understand.
They just
The Mexican always hired a prostitute, so we had his secrets, he could have ours.
Exactly.
But it was a nice old couple with the Dalmatians, they chased with a chainsaw, and now he's spraying shit.
And it was quick thinking because the backyards are leveled, so each backyard is higher than the other one. So technically, if anybody happened to come out on the back porch, they could easily see over the fence and see right down onto me while I'm shitting and screaming. So the screams would bring somebody out, and that's just me and just a straight line of a tubular line of shit flowing right out of me.
It's like a shit tornado.
And so I get done. And I mean, there's just this pile. So I go inside, and I'm like, oh no.
How do you get in the house afterwards? Yeah,
so I go back around. First time I try the garage door, opens right up. So I go inside and I wrap my hand in about 15 Kroger bags and I scoop the shit up. Because I'm embarrassed. I don't want somebody to come over and find
a pile of shit there.
The pile of shit is the size of a pizza. I mean, it's that much shit. So I scoop it up and I scoop it all up and I'm wrapping it in Kroger bag after Kroger bag in like 10 trash
bags.
Did
you name it?
Oh, it was terrible. It was the worst. It was the worst, but yet the most ingenious MacGyver shit in the history of the world.
Good God.
Oh, my God. You know.
Oh. The thing that cracks me up is that you're like, oh, I went back in the house. I'm like, you went back in the house?
Yeah,
I was
like what?
Wasn't that the hang-up in the birthplace?
Yeah, no, got
I
right
figured,
in.
I pictured you like banging on the door and getting your wife to come down and be like, hey, baby, I shit in the front yard. You need to let me in.
Yeah, you're definitely not getting in that
Oh,
way.
That's why I had to clean it up so the wife didn't catch me.
It was not for the neighbors as much as the wife. Like, hey, Drew, do you know there's a big pile of human feces outside?
I was like, what'd you feed the dog? Come on.
Jeez. Well, that's okay, now, see, we had a shit your pants episode. That would have been a good one. But it was the poop.
Well, technically, it wasn't in his pants. He shit his house.
You shit the house. So.
I shit Dude. The house. Has anybody Trust ever
me,
shit a house?
That's not the worst thing that house has ever seen. I used to live there. Well, we're going to jump into the final story, and this is the legend of Drew the Stew at Beer Fest. This is a few years ago. Drew the Stew, obviously the nickname mixed in because he stews in his own drunkenness, but after he gets there, you can't rationalize
reason
with him. And you can't you can't talk him down, you can't calm him down. If you ever try to adjust, you know, his mood, he will just come at you like a whirlwind of
emotional
teeth and nails.
And aggressive, yeah.
And I have this thing that he has dubbed concert mode, Patrick's concert mode. And that's when I get pissy. Because
right.
And honestly, it's mostly because Drew the Stew starts to annoy the fuck out of me.
Well, as I say, Drew can be very irritating, and you are very irritable.
That's
right.
That's completely
and
inaccurate.
It's like,
I mean,
so it's very easy to make hit right. us at the middle somewhere.
It's when you're being a douche, and
I'm always the third man, just sitting there like, "Wow, you guys are just being a bunch of assholes."
But Patrick in his concert mode is normally because Drew the Stew is acting like a complete asshole, and
right.
and one time he actually got me in concert mode by just going. Oh, Patrick's in concert mode now. He's just sitting there not talking about because he's. I'm like, I'm fine. What are you talking about? He goes,
nope,
oh, there it is.
There it is.
There's concert mode Patrick right there. I'm like, I'm not doing anything. He goes, oh, classic concert mode Patrick. Calm down, concert mode Patrick. Don't get pissed off, concert mode Patrick. And he just keeps doing, this goes on for like
right.
20 minutes until I finally flip out on him. And then it's like, he didn't mean to get me to flip out. And then he's just like, and he seems like so offended. He's just like, oh, like all indignant that he just pushed me that side. Oh, what the fuck? I didn't mean to get yelled at. Whatever. And he marches off. And that's a whole other story. When you're punching a guy out at a concert.
We'll have to tell that story.
That's another Drew the Stew story. That's another Drew the Stew story. Punch a guy
at
a concert.
I'm sure we'll have Drew on again and we'll tell this story.
I'll quickly summate. I'll do that story real fast since we're doing final time. After I start yelling at him, I just start shouting, shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up. Now, I'm trying to do it slightly comical. I'm not, like, yelling at him, really. But Drew finally just, you know, gets all upset that I yelled at him, and he just marches off. And then he comes back down about 20 minutes later, and he's just, like, rubbing his knuckles. Now, on the other side of me is our other buddy named Andrew.
You gotta tell him where we were at.
We were going to see the Velvet Revolver concert. It was Mistletoe
right.
Jam, so it was like Muse, Velvet Revolver, Keen,
Jimmy
World.
And you
World
were
was
particularly
there.
Looking forward to this because, like you said, it's the closest thing to a Guns N' Roses concert.
Yeah. Right, I want to see
get.
Guns N' Roses. And Drew just likes a good time. He wants to see it, but he just wants
wasn't
to have
he a, like a last minute tag on too?
Right,
like and, last minute add on.
And in summation, this event happened directly before the Velvet Revolver went on. So Patrick
yes.
was in super concert mode
You're
because
right.
he was afraid somebody was going to ruin it for. Him.
Right, because at this point I saw Muse, it was amazing, and then it was Velvet Revolver was coming up next, and they were changing the stage over to the lights in the Civic Center come back up. Drew, you know, starts this concert mode Patrick bullshit with me, and I say, dude, don't get us kicked out, it's going to piss me off. Oh, there's concert mode Patrick, starts doing the whole shit.
Yep.
So then he ends up, when I finally yelled at him, he marches up the stairs, comes back 20 minutes later, and he's rubbing his knuckles. Now, my buddy Andrew's on the other side of me, so I'm in between Andrew and Drew. And that's when Drew's rubbing his knuckles and just won't talk to me at all. I start trying to talk to Andrew, and he goes, yeah, just punch a guy out in the bathroom. And I'm sitting there watching him rub his knuckles and stuff.
Like
I'm like,
a
he's,
fucking baby.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm sitting, he's rubbing his, well, he's rubbing his knuckles, and I'm sitting there going, oh, he's trying to
make
rub
him
his,
look red.
Make him look red.
He maybe like scraped him against the concrete
a little bit
just to like get a little blood.
And, like, and then he comes down and is like, yeah, just punch a guy out of the bathroom. Just so
yeah,
I know he's a loose cannon
good,
and I need to watch out for Drew. And so. Then, and I'm sitting there like just thinking it's almost funny to me. I'm not even paying attention. And that's when I notice the ushers down at the front of our area. One usher runs to the other one and starts doing this little hand gesture like towards her face, like a fist towards her nose, and starts pointing up at the top of our section. I turn around. There's just a swarm of cops at the top of the stairs. I'm like, holy shit, Drew actually knocked a guy out in the bathroom. So the thing is, this is a metal concert. There is nothing but black T-shirts and flesh. Drew is an asshole wearing the green Ireland soccer shirt.
Only he could do that.
Like, who punched you in the face? A guy wearing a green Ireland shirt. See if you can find him.
Yeah, should be hard.
Like,
in a
yeah,
sea of black
that guy. I don't even need binoculars. That guy. So I told Drew to take off the shirt real quick and pull out the shirt he just bought.
Yeah,
at the
he
thing.
Just bought like a Velvet
so he pulls
shirt.
Off the Green Ireland shirt, puts on his Velvet Revolver shirt, and then he just takes the Green Ireland shirt and just throws it over the back of his chair. Like, still doesn't get it.
You
and
didn't fix anything.
So
just
then,
now.
So we're still sitting there. I'm sitting there, just kind of sweating the cops, kind of staring around, looking for Drew, essentially. And they've kind of moved over to the next section, kind of looking down that area. And then Drew goes, "Dude, I want to go get a cigarette." I'm like, "No, you're not gonna. You're gonna walk past. You're gonna go walk up past all those cops." And, you know, go smoke a cigarette. Are you stupid? Like, just sit here and wait for the concert to start. Once the lights go down, you do whatever the fuck you want. And he's like, so he sits for about 2 minutes and then he goes, "I gotta pee." And I'm like, "No, you don't have to pee."
Can't stop that.
I was like, "You just want to go smoke a cigarette and you're saying you gotta pee, so I'll let you go." He goes, like, I really have to be play daddy at this point because I'm like, he's gonna get arrested and I'm gonna get in trouble with his girl.
Yeah.
So he goes, no, seriously, I gotta pee now. Hey, Andrew, you wanna come pee with me? And I'm like, fine, Drew. If you're gonna go pee, go pee. But don't go to the bathroom. You just knock the guy out, and he's probably still laying out on the floor.
Avoid that one.
I was like, don't go to that one. Go somewhere else. And I'll give you 5 minutes. If you're not back in 5 minutes, I'm assuming you're arrested.
I went to the bathroom. It was really fucking complicated. I had to walk under this yellow tape.
Yeah.
So pain in the ass.
Drew and Andrew leave. 15 minutes later, Drew shows back up, reeks of cigarettes, and of course. He forgot to pee completely. And so he comes back down. Finally, the lights come down and everything, and we get to go to the concert and watch the rest of the show. And it was great. And once it ended, I just booked out there with him. But it was like, that's where Drew is. When Drew the Stew gets, he starts to be really obnoxious, and he likes to pick on me because he knows he can get a reaction. That's one of his favorite things to do.
Right.
So anyway, a couple years ago on Beer Fest, and T, I'll let you start the story. Go ahead.
Yeah, this story is just sort of the epitome of Drew the Stew. It represents everything within one condensed story, everything that Drew the Stew kind of represents. But typically how it started, which was he started getting upset. I don't even remember what it was about. Do you remember? It was like,
I think I was in concert mode.
It was a nothing thing. Yeah, so
I was probably in concert mode, and it just pissed him off.
Yeah, he ends up getting.
Oh, I'll tell you what pissed me off is because he kept wanting to tip the shuttle driver with a chalupa.
Oh my god! Yeah, we show up and we skipped tipping the guy like the day before.
No, it was like all day that day. We never tipped the shuttle driver.
And
once.
It was like we had no cash.
Side note: the only reason we didn't have any cash is because I had given all my cash to Drew because we were in a cash only line. Yeah. The night before, and he took every bit of my tip money so he could buy beer. So all my tip money's gone. I kept saying, Drew, you need to get some tip money because we haven't tipped him. And all day we had this guy shuttling us back and forth through the parks. And finally, Drew the Stew shows up, and he wanted to tip him with the chalupa.
And still he's like, yeah, he like leads over because we're like, we're sitting there in like a huddle, and we're like, shit, we need to pay this guy. How are we going to pay this guy? Drew's like, don't worry. I'm going to get him a chalupa. I'm like, that's totally illogical. We start trying to figure it out, and he's like, no, dude, don't even worry about it. I talked to him beforehand. He loves chalupas.
Like, who doesn't love chalupas?
Yeah, nobody's going to turn down a free chalupa, but, like, he's got to come back and pick up other people and shit. Like, he's got to get us to the fucking hotel and get back and shit. You're like, no, dude, don't worry. Stop by talking about just real quick. Just a little pop by, and we're going to get a chalupa.
So this is what spins the argument between me and Drew is that I start trying to rationalize with Drew the Stew, who does not want to hear it.
And he's just like, you stop being an asshole, dude. That kind of typical thing. And Patrick ends up just going, fuck it.
I know that the hotel's about a half mile away.
I'm gonna walk it. But he's smart, and what he does is he's like, you know, I've had a couple to drink, I feel all right, but I'm gonna pull out my fucking nav to make sure I get there all right. So he pulls out the nav.
On my phone, just use a walking thing.
Use the walking thing, and he gets down there. And I'm talking to Drew, and he's still trying to convince me. He's like, you're on board with the chalupa thing, right? And I'm like, no! And he's like, well, fuck you then, and storms off.
So Drew, basically, I instigated because I walked off. Drew saw me march off, and he's like, oh, that's how we show anger. So Drew decides to march off. The thing is, Drew doesn't have a phone on him. He has no way to
contact the outside
world. He doesn't know
how
to get to the hotel.
He doesn't know where the fucking hotel is.
Drew marches just out of the park in the complete wrong direction.
Just no fucking idea. And I'm now stuck with the fucking thing, and I'm like, I don't even know what I'm supposed to be doing. I called Patrick. I was like, dude, do I need to like go chase him down? He's like, fuck that guy. He's still in that mode. So I was like, all right,
concert
well, shit.
Concert mode Patrick.
Yeah.
Concert mode.
So, God, he ended up walking. Was it the gas station?
He marched all the way down to the highway. It was when Drew got to the highways when he realized he's taking
which is in the complete wrong direction.
Couldn't have been more directly away from the hotel. Walked all the way down to the highway, which is a pretty good distance. That's when he realizes he's in the wrong place. He turns around, and this is when he says that he decided that he had to pee real bad, but you know, obviously, a guy standing in the bushes is very obvious.
It's very obvious,
and it looks like some guy's peeing in the bushes. So he decides it'd be less inconspicuous,
or more
inconspicuous by just pulling his dick out and pointing it straight down at the ground and just walking and pissing. Like having his dick out in public and walking around is okay. So he starts walking and pissing, and that's when he starts realizing he's just pissed all over himself.
All over himself.
Sprinkled himself. And the thing that also that made it just funnier to me is that he was wearing a Free Hugs t-shirt the entire time. So it's just like this guy covered in piss wearing a Free Hugs t-shirt. Like, no one's going to hug you, hobo.
Anybody that's driving by and is looking at him is just
a dick out, like, pissing all over himself
with a
Free Hugs
shirt. Didn't account for that backdraft, did you?
And that's when he makes it directly. That's when he makes it to the gas station after he's covered himself in piss.
Oh my god! Yeah, so he gets to the gas station, and now he decides that it'd be a good idea to start berating the gas attendant. That he's there. It's fucking 3 o'clock in the morning. He's tired. He doesn't want to be there, and he gets like, what was it, like a pack of cigarettes and like a Gatorade.
Yeah,
puts it on the counter. He's like, oh, and by the way, I need you to call me a taxi.
Yeah,
he's like, I don't know any taxi numbers. Here, just take the phone and you could do it. And he gets so fucking upset and offended that he would have to dial his own taxi that he threw the phone.
He takes the phone and just chucks it at the wall behind the attendant.
Then he runs out and he thinks he's getting away with it, but like, you swiped your credit card to buy the cigarettes and the Gatorade, you asshole.
And again, just like at the concert, he's wearing a bright green Ireland shirt. He's a big dude with a goatee and a fucking free hug shirt.
The officer walks in. What do he look like?
Piss on his jeans.
He kind of looked like a dirty hobo wearing a free hug t-shirt covered in piss.
Yeah.
Oh, we saw that guy down the road.
He walked down that way.
He was assaulting a nun.
It's not going to be a hard find.
Yeah. So that's when he ran to a Perkins.
Which is the next best bet.
He goes running in, like, screaming. He goes, hey, someone call me a cab. A cab takes credit cards. And then, apparently Perkins is like a Waffle House. They basically are open 24 hours and all the drunks show up. So they were already ready. They had a cab there in a minute for him. He jumps in the cab. The cab driver passes our hotel. Drew starts yelling at the cab driver because he's driving past the hotel.
We're going to hold it.
And this is where at least Drew has, like, an argument in the story where, like, the cab driver drove past, the Holiday Inn or whatever. He's like, that's the hotel we're staying at. And the cab driver is being an asshole.
Other side
he's like,
of town.
No, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. And, like, just completely drove him to, like, a completely different Holiday Inn and dropped him off. And Drew was like, this isn't my fucking hotel. Remember when I told you, like, 2 miles back?
Yeah.
That was my hotel, and I pointed directly at it.
He took him all the way back, and then the cab driver tried to charge him full fare. And Drew starts yelling at the cab driver and shit. So he's in front of our hotel, and you just hear this yelling, like this Ugandan yelling, and then just this slurred, inebriated yelling back. You motherfucker!
You fucking asshole!
You fucking asshole!
By the way, where's the brewery?
He was in concert mode.
So Drew comes back in with just smells like dry piss and sad.
And at this point, he's completely forgotten about what the argument was.
Any recollection of the argument.
And comes in with a big fucking smirk on his face and explains this story to us like nothing happened. And I want to point out that neither of you guys considered the fact that I was stuck with a shuttle. I had no cash on me either. And I tried to like bolt it in because I was like, all right, what I'm going to do is pull out my card, get some cash at the front desk. So I like bolted in the fucking the hotel place. By the time I came back out, he had already left. So I just looked like the asshole that tried to like skip on tipping the guy. I just like bolted in the
like,
fucking hotel.
Can't catch me. I'm out.
Yeah, I felt like such an
epilogue
asshole.
That story. Last year, after the shuttle, the same shuttle driver we had every year.
Same Holiday Inn, same shuttle driver.
Drew ended up taking all of us to Steak and Shake at the end of it.
Because, same guy.
Because I told you he wanted a chalupa.
A chalupa,
so
but
I'll have to post a picture of us in the shuttle driver last year at Steak and Shake. Yep. That guy's awesome. Hopefully he's there again this year.
Yeah. Do you remember his name?
No.
Well, he'll be on his name.
Sanchez? Fuck, I don't know.
He was a big, Samoan motherfucker. You think his name was Sanchez?
No, I just wore that Hawaiian shirt because that was the hotel.
No, he was so clearly Hawaiian. You were so clearly drunk. I don't think you remember.
Look, Samoan, right. Mexican, same fucking thing, man.
What do you want? I want Mexican. No, I don't want to really want Mexican. All right, how about Chinese? I said I didn't want Mexican.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to the show, everybody. If you have your own stories about being way too drunk, or you have a friend that's like Drew the Stew,
or maybe
or something,
have met Drew the Stew,
and maybe you've met
possible.
Drew the Stew, and you have a Drew the Stew submission, send it to Devil's email us at devilsbusinesspodcast@gmail.com with the submission line or a subject line, drunken stories or Drew the Stew stories. Thanks for listening, everybody. Be sure to wrap it up and sleeve it off. Bye.
See you guys.
This has been a Zombie Werewolf production.